Thank you, choir, for that beautiful song. This morning we begin a brand new sermon series entitled Perplexing Parables. And so I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 3 and verses 10 through 15. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. He told them many things in parables. Then the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them.'" Marcia Gubser one day coaxed her teenage son outside on a sunny morning and asked him to help her with weeding her yard. She, of course, would talk to her plants at times, and when she did that, Matt, her son, would snicker at her. But when she dragged him outside, she said to him, "You know, the weeds are so thick here, you might pull up a flower. If you do so, put it back and say you're sorry." Matt responded to that with a, "Oh, Mom, I just weed the plants. I don't counsel them." "Do you have any weeds in your yard?" "I know that I do. I know that my wife and I have discussions and arguments about what is a weed in our yard. I brought an example of what my wife says is a weed in our yard. It's a choya. I think choyas are lovely until you get them stuck on you and they come off in big clumps, and then they have rather nasty thorns that when they go inside, they then hook, and they're really tough to get out. So my wife wants this choya eradicated immediately. It's a weed," she says, "and so I gave her permission just a couple of days ago to get rid of our choya, and she is ecstatic. She is thrilled. It's what we want to do to weeds, isn't it? We want to get rid of them. We want to annihilate them." But Jesus had other advice for weeds. And just when I'm ready as a pastor to tell my wife that advice about weeds, I then remember that he wasn't really talking about weeds, but he was talking about much bigger things. He was talking about the kingdom of God. The story of the weeds is in fact a parable. It is a way of getting under the skin or getting the point of the story. Of course, I don't want to get the point of that one, but the point of the parable. Of course, my wife's point is we should get rid of the choya before it does get under our skin. So the parables help us get that point. Now, it's helpful in realizing what the audience was thinking as Jesus told them parables. You see, the audience had specific expectations about their future. They had been kicked around for hundreds, if not thousands of years, by occupying forces and countries. Israel, in fact, was a valuable piece of real estate that was really where three continents intersected. And all the ruling powers wanted to have control of that place. As a result, time after time after time, Israel would be conquered by some country and they would be pushed around. But then they remembered how the Jewish prophets had told them, it will not be like this always. One day you will be free of these occupying forces. God will act on our behalf. No longer will we be conquered. This belief was felt throughout the crowd. They knew one day the oppressors would be dealt with. And they thought, just thought, that maybe it might be Jesus who would do it. So Jesus talks about seeds and crops. By the way, that resonated with the audience. Because when they went back and thought about the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verse 21, they remembered how Isaiah said, they will build houses and inhabit them. That meant that when the occupying forces came in, they would build the house and somebody else would occupy. But Isaiah is saying, one day you will build your house and you will live in it. Isaiah went on to say, one, they will plant vineyards and they will eat their fruit. You see, it was implied that the occupying forces, they would plant, the people would plant, and the occupying forces would come in and eat the fruit. But Isaiah is saying, no longer will it be that way. You will plant and you will eat. So when Jesus starts using crops and seeds and growing, they get really excited because maybe he's going to talk about that time in which they can harvest all that they have grown. But then Jesus says, don't pull the weeds. Don't pull the weeds. Wait until harvest time. At that time, the weeds will be separated from the wheat. That's not how it's done. When you have weeds in your yard, what do? You get rid of them immediately. I mean, I've watched my neighbors deal with weeds. They pull them, they spray them, they complain about them, and I've even watched one neighbor burn them with a propane blowtorch. We want them gone. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, God has patience. Now, we'd prefer God to act. We'd prefer God to get rid of those weeds. But God waits. The injustice is not dealt with yet. He's supposed to pull up the weeds, we think. But Jesus says, oh no. Just let them grow. He also implies, by the way, that the weeds are not our problem, they are God's problem. And one day God will deal with them. And as we hear that news, we hear that parable, we think, what kind of kingdom is this? What kind of justice is this? Nobody is taking care of the bad guys. And Jesus' response is, this thing that God is doing takes time. God's kingdom will come in time. The good and the evil, they will live side by side. They will grow up together until one day, that day will come when the wheat will be separated from the weeds. Just have patience. Do you have patience? I remember how Robert Levine wrote a book titled A Geographic a geography of time. And in that book, he tells about how they have discovered a new unit of time. It's the shortest unit of time that we can measure. It's that time when you come up to a stoplight and it's red and you stop for that red stoplight and the light turns green and the person behind you honks. He calls that a honkosecond. The shortest amount of time that science has been able to determine. You don't honk at people, do you? You're not impatient, are you? We are. We want things done now. But the kingdom of God that Jesus describes in the parables is not what the people were expecting. They want action now, but Jesus says, just wait. The audience is looking for something, and Jesus gives them something else. Now, why did Jesus deal in parables? One reason that we know that Jesus told parables is because certainly they are memorable. I mean, 2,000 years later, we find it is still easy to remember the parables because, in fact, they are object lessons. You ever tested your memory? What do you remember from last week's message? Anybody? Is this even worth doing? Anybody tell me what we talked about last week? You're laughing and I'm not hearing any responses. Communion. Very good. Now, if I hold one thing up, will that spark your memories? You all just have that, aha, I remember now. Objects help us remember. It's the words we kind of forget, but objects help our brain remember. By the way, studies have been done about speaking and sermons, and it has been determined if all you hear in a sermon is just words and words and words, your retention rate that afternoon will be about 40%. But if I use an object and we interact with that object, your retention level goes up to over 80%. That's huge. Jesus used objects. He used a wide variety of objects. He used sheep, he used coins, he used pearls, he used a child, he used mustard seeds, and the list is endless. If there was an object around, Jesus would use it, and he would say, "The kingdom of God is like this." By the way, the word parable means to place beside. So you take the object and you place beside it. The kingdom of God is like. This object is like the kingdom of God in this way. That's how Jesus spoke. David Zerson is an artist. And he said he heard news that his mentor, another artist, was dying, and the hospice place he was in had told him he only had 3 to 5 days that he would live. And so what he did is he decided he would drive and visit his friend, his mentor, and he would explain to him how thankful he was for all that he had shared with him about being an artist. And one thing came to his mind. He said, "One thing I really remember my friend said is one day I was looking at his painting. And I was looking at that painting and I asked my friend, what does this mean?" And he said, his friend said, "I'm not going to tell you. Because if I tell you, every time you look at that painting, that is all you will see. But if I don't tell you, then guess what? You will see a lot more than I even intended in that painting. You will stand before that painting and you will have an aha experience." You ever been in a museum where there is art? I mean, incredible art. And you stand before a painting and it just overwhelms you and you have that aha experience. You just get the message of that painting. Well, this morning I need a couple volunteers. I need a married couple who love to listen to music. Anybody want to volunteer? A married couple. Anybody want to volunteer? If you don't volunteer, we're going to be here a long time. All right. Thank you. Up. We're going to have you come actually sit over here. Going to give you both a headset. Okay. And you can have a seat on these stools. And what I'm going to do is I have a song. Okay, and I'm going to have you listen to it on the headphones. Nobody out here can hear it. It's going to be on my iPhone. And what we'll do is I'll hit play. And then what I want you to do is not say anything out loud, but simply write down a description. Yeah, there you go. Write down a description so they will all know what the song is. Okay, that makes sense? So just write down whatever words describe this song. All right, go ahead and put on your headphones. And I will play the song. By the way, if it's too loud or soft, you can slide this little bar across on the bottom. Okay, so it'll start out soft and it's going to get louder. So I'm going to let you hang on to that. Okay. Can you, whoop, is it still playing?
Nope.
No. Okay. Is it playing now? Okay, all right. Don't worry, don't push it up too high because it'll, all right. Still playing. All right. I need two more volunteers to do something else. There you go. All right. We'll have you have a seat over here. And I'm going to have you do the same thing. And that is describe something, but it's not music. It is a work of art. Okay? All right. So I'm just going to give you a pen, and with words, you're going to describe that work of art so that people know what it is, okay? As best you can. Don't show it to anybody, okay? All right. Can you still hear the music? Okay. You're writing down. You can write down as you listen to it. Write down any descriptions. Go ahead. You want me to hold that while you write? That might be easier. Okay. All right. I'm going to stand behind you here. Do you think this will be hard?
Yes.
Ha! She said yes. Okay, I see one word there. He says marching. That's the only word I see so far. And we're already a minute and 30 into this song. You got to start writing. Write down whatever you think or feel. Anything you want. This is tough, isn't it? Okay, I see another one, marching and praising. Okay, you have any guesses yet what song you think this might be? Jesus Loves Me. The choir cannot answer because they've heard this at first service, but it's not that. She's leading you astray. Thank you, choir, for leading them astray. Anybody else? Onward, Christian Soldiers, the guests at 8 o'clock. Ain't. Not right. It's a logical guess for a Christian group. Did you think I would go really down that path so you could guess it so easily?
Wow.
The saints go marching in. Nope. She just said, wow. That's a good descriptor, don't you think? Wow. Okay, we're going to stop right there because it's tough, isn't it?
Fair.
Not fair, she says. All righty. Come back here, song. We're going to stop that so it doesn't keep playing. There we go. All right. You can take the headsets off and just set them there on the chairs. And I'll take your descriptions. Okay. All right. So we have marching and praising, giving glory. We have God is great, And by the way, I'm going to pull from last service's descriptions too, which says marching drums like any like an army approaches, singing orchestra. So those are the descriptions. By the way, let's applaud them for volunteering, so we didn't have to stay here. That's the descriptions, and you kind of guessed, but here's the song. It's not what you think it was. It is. Recognize it? From those descriptions? No. By the way, I had my 21-year-old pick the song so that most of you wouldn't even have an idea, because you would guess along Christian lines about a marching song, but it's a song from Skyrim, and it's the main theme song. Now, if I played that to most 21-year-olds, they might recognize it, okay? But it's very, very hard to describe, right? Now, let's see about the artwork. What did you write about the artwork? Let me hang on to that. Fantasy using all the elements of the earth are air, wind, and fire, including animals and beauty, reminds me of the changing of the seasons. And well, what else? Let's see. Peace and tranquility amongst all God's beautiful creatures while being thankful and respectful of such a gift. Boy, you both are writers. Now, did you guess what the artwork was? You're going, no way am I guessing. I heard the music. That was hard. Here's the piece of artwork on the screen. I guarantee you wouldn't have gotten it. It is a beautiful piece of artwork and pretty hard to explain. Impossible, really, to explain. And so let's thank them for volunteering this morning. Thanks. It was really impossible to describe music or a work of art with just words. There's so much more to it. In a similar way, the kingdom of God is a reality that is to be experienced. Some will experience it and some will not. You can write about it, you can talk about it, you can discuss about it, you can take notes on it, but frankly, it is like trying to describe a song or a piece of artwork. It is very tough to do. Did any of you see the movie this last week, Gravity? Any of you see Gravity? An awesome movie. I mean, it was impressive. It is a story about some astronauts that are stranded in space and the special effects as this whole movie, almost all of it, takes place under zero gravity. So the special effects involved in the movie are incredible. I would highly encourage you to see it on the big screen. It is that good. However, I have to tell you, there are some flaws in the movie. I don't know if you know a man named Neil deGrasse Tyson, but he's an astrophysicist, and he saw the movie and immediately noticed a number of flaws. For example, he said, why in the world was Sandra Bullock's hair not floating freely in zero gravity? It wasn't. But I want you to know, I didn't notice that. I was so enthralled with the movie, I was like, oh, yeah, duh. But I didn't get it. He also said he noticed that the space debris should not have been orbiting from east to west. That's incorrect, impossible, he said. I didn't notice that when I watched the movie, did you? By the way, those are two minor things, and he talks about some major things, but I'm not going to ruin the movie for you. But I will tell you, you may want to look up those things after you see the movie, and then you'll say, oh boy, I didn't see that. You didn't get it. Neil deGrasse Tyson also saw the Titanic movie years ago. And he had a complaint about that movie. He said when Rose was lying on some driftwood, she looks up at the sky, and he said, that is not the correct sky she should have seen. It's the wrong sky for that time of year and for that place on the earth. He also noticed that all the stars that were created on one side were duplicated and flipped over and put on the other side. So he even called it was a lazy sky, he said. Somebody got lazy with the sky and they just duplicated it. Did you notice that when you watched the Titanic? I didn't. I mean, he has the knowledge. He knows about space and about stars, and it immediately triggered something in him. By the way, it affected his thinking and behavior. Also, I need to tell you that he did recommend going to see Gravity, okay? He did like the movie. He just saw the imperfections. He saw those things because he had the knowledge and he got it. And for the people who didn't have the knowledge, they didn't get it. Some of you have experienced God's kingdom in this church in a way you never have before. Something has taken root in you. You've experienced the grace and the mercy and the power of God. Some of you were thirsty and you found some water here. And then you've tried to explain what you have found to others. Friends, co-workers, family, they want to know what you get out of the Christian faith. And so you try to sit down and you try to use words to explain God's presence in your life. And you find yourself frustrated. How do you fully express God's presence? It's almost impossible, like describing a song or describing a work of art. And sometimes it's so tough, we get frustrated. And the people who listen to us can sometimes get frustrated and just think, you know, we're off the edge. You have to experience it. Years ago, when I was a sophomore in college, I felt my call to ministry. People have asked me about it. The best I can explain it is one day I was walking by the church in which I grew up. I was walking on the street, and I just had this overwhelming sense that I should go into the ordained ministry. And I have to tell you, I was not thinking about it. I was not contemplating it. It wasn't even a possibility in my mind when it just hit me. And I have to tell you, at that moment, an incredible peace came over me. And I just had the feeling that that was right. And that's all the words I can put on that experience. I can tell you that I still remember today, 30 years later, the color of the leaves on the trees and exactly that moment in my life. And I can also tell you I've never doubted that feeling of call. All these years later, it was so strong, it was so complete in my life. But that's all I have is words. And I have to tell you, they fall far short of the experience. I know John Wesley had the same experience, the founder of the Methodist Church. He was ordained a pastor, and he volunteered to come over to Georgia, to the colony of Georgia, where he served. And frankly, he failed badly. So badly in fact, that he thought he was going to be thrown into prison because of something he had done. And so he jumped on a ship and headed back to England. And he was wrestling with his call. And because of that wrestling, it took him to a place called Aldersgate Street. And in that Aldersgate Street, somebody was reading the preface to the book of Romans in the Bible. And at that moment, he said, "My heart was strangely warmed." Those are insufficient words. Because in fact, I think his life was set on fire. It transformed his life. He became one of the leading pastors, and he reformed the church. And eventually, it became the United Methodist Church. He caused a spiritual awakening, not only in England, but in this country. He was set on fire. But the words that he used are so limited. Do you understand now why Jesus used parables? It's the best he can do. The kingdom of God is like this. It's like this. It's like this. Because words are never going to describe it. It is like the weeds and the wheat that grow up together. It is like treasure found in a field, and you are so happy at the finding of it. It is the lost being found. It is like different soils in which God's seed comes to those soils. It is like the parables we will talk about in the next 5 weeks. Ah. And some of us will get it. Let us pray. Oh God, we give thanks for all the parables you shared, for all the different perspectives that you have given us about the kingdom of God. And sometimes those perspectives are so surprising. But Lord, over the coming weeks, we pledge to listen. We pledge to hear. And may your parables speak into our lives so that we might be transformed and changed. In Jesus' name, amen.